Turn with me, if you would, to the seventh chapter of Luke. The seventh chapter of Luke. And I want to begin reading at verse 36. Verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. A Pharisee asked Jesus to eat with him, okay? And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. That's an interesting phrase, considering that we are all sinners. But this was a particular sinner. Or she was particularly guilty. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. What a picture that verse paints for us. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to him saying, this man, if he were a prophet, excuse me, I misread that. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. In other words, this is what he's thinking. He's in his mind. He's speaking to himself. And you get the benefit by the inspiration of God, what this man is thinking, what he is reasoning. So what does he say to himself? This man, referring to Jesus, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So he's thinking Jesus is not really a prophet. Because if he were a prophet, he would know that this woman was a sinner and he should not be allowing her to touch him. And Jesus answered and said to him, now see, Jesus knows what the man was thinking. He knows what the Pharisee was thinking. He knows what's going on through his mind, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, the Pharisee, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Here's a 500 denarii debt, the creditor forgave it. Here's a 50 denarii debt, and the creditor forgave it. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more, meaning the 500 denarii debt. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, notice the little details. He perhaps is looking at the woman, but he speaks to Simon. What he's about to say is for Simon. Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss for this woman, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, he addresses her now, he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, again, here's group think. Everybody that sees this and hears this, they're thinking to themselves, who is this man who forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus not only accepted the hospitality of publicans and sinners, he also accepted the hospitality of Pharisees, this being one of them. Pharisees need the Word of God, whether they realize it or not. We trust that Simon's invitation was a sincere one, and that he did not have some other ulterior motive for having Jesus in his home. If he did, his plan backfired because he ended up learning more about himself, perhaps, than he cared to know. There are three main characters in this passage this morning. You've got a house full of guests that are at the Pharisee's dinner, at his feast. But they're not the main characters. There's a woman, there's Simon the Pharisee, and there's Jesus. So we're going to focus on these three people. First of all, let's focus on a repentant woman. A repentant woman. In verses 36 through 38. It was customary in that day for outsiders, and she would have been one, for outsiders to hover around during banquets so that they could watch important people as they came and went. And they could hear conversations. Since everything was open, they could even enter the banquet hall and speak to a guest. This explains how this woman had access to Jesus. This was a sort of an open situation, an open area. Jesus wasn't behind locked doors, guarded doors. In that day, women were not invited to banquets. Jewish rabbis, of which Jesus was one, did not speak to women in public. Nor did they eat with women in public. A woman of this type would not be welcome in the house of Simon the Pharisee. The emphasis as we read this, even in the English, this woman is a sinner. This woman is a sinner. We're not talking about common, everyday, breaking the law type of sinner. This has reference to her being a prostitute, being a harlot, being a streetwalker, of a woman who would sell herself. Now, true, we've all sinned. But the emphasis is upon something very major in her life that really made her stand out from the other people and the other women. She was a sinner. And we don't have anything to do with sinners. Especially not her type. Okay. Her sins are not named, I grant you. But we get the impression that she's a woman of the streets with a bad reputation. And she wanders into this feast that the Pharisee is putting on with Jesus as his special invited guest. Now, 2 weeks ago when I was studying, I was looking at this passage, and I was looking at the passage in Matthew and Mark and John where a similar incident, that is, Mary, the sister of Martha, Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their home in Bethany. And Jesus was there just before the beginning of Passover week. And Mary had a box or flask of spikenard, very pungent smell, very expensive. And she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. So it's easy to read this passage and say, well, that's just another version of that. But it's not the same story. It's not the same story. This is not Mary of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Doesn't fit the timing, doesn't fit the place, doesn't fit the circumstances of life, the condition of Mary of Bethany and this particular woman. So don't confuse this incident with what is said about what happened in Bethany in Matthew and Mark and John. Separate. And don't confuse this woman with Mary Magdalene. Many old commentaries do that, and God knows I read a bunch of them, trying to make sure in my own mind that this is not the same story, just told from a different perspective. It's a different story. It's a different woman. It's a different set of circumstances. About Mary Magdalene, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9 and Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, it says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. That perhaps was her claim to fame and why she was so desirous of helping and supporting Jesus in his last days of ministry. But this woman admitted that she was a sinner and gave evidence that she was a repentant sinner. A repentant sinner. If you check the harmony of the Gospels, you will discover that just before this event, Jesus, in one of his messages, and by the way, he's up in Galilee, not down in Judea, it looks like that he is in the town of Capernaum, which is upon the north edge of the Sea of Galilee. If you check a harmony, you discover that just before this event, Jesus had given this gracious invitation, "Come unto me." And perhaps that is when this woman had turned from her sin and trusted Christ as her Savior. The passage that we have here she pours the ointment on, she washes his feet and so forth, all of that. That is not her conversion. That is not her conversion experience. The evidence internally, she had met Jesus at some previous time, and she had received the forgiveness of sins. Already. But it wasn't announced. It wasn't public, because they're still calling her the sinner. Her conversion had been so recent that perhaps the knowledge of her conversion had not spread very widely at that point. So when she turned from her sin and trusted the Savior was before this incident. This is not a salvation incident. This is a love response. A love response. Her tears, her humble attitude, her expensive gift that she lavished upon him spoke of a changed heart. Amen. Amen. A repentant woman. Amen. A critical host. Verses 39 through 43, Simon. Simon was embarrassed, I'm sure, that she was there. Remember, women aren't invited to banquets. A woman who was a streetwalker would not have been invited into Simon's house or his banquet. He's a critic of hers. She's a sinner. Jesus ought to know that. If he were really a prophet, he would know that she was a sinner and he would send her away. People had been saying in Luke chapter 7, verse 16, that he was a great prophet. He's certainly not exhibiting prophetic discernment. If he lets her come and touch his feet and wipe his feet and anoint him, and he just doesn't know who that is. He's not a prophet. That's what's going on in Simon's mind. But Simon's real problem is his blindness. He could not see himself. He could not see the woman. And he did not understand who Jesus was. It was easy for him to say, Now remember, he's wrapped in the long roads of Phariseeism. It's easy for him to say, she is a sinner. But it was impossible for him to say, I am a sinner. And that's where the rubber meets the road, as Dr. McGee used to say. When we come to that point of saying, I am a sinner. Jesus proved that he was indeed a prophet by reading Simon's thoughts and revealing his need. The parable does not deal with the amount of sin in a person's life, but with the awareness that sin is in the heart. How much sin must a person commit to be a sinner? How much? Just give me one word. How much sin must you commit to be a sinner? One. One. Simon and the woman were both sinners. Simon was guilty of the sins of the spirit, especially pride, while the woman was guilty of sins of the flesh. Her sins were known. Everybody in town knew about her. While Simon's sins were hidden from everyone except God, both of them were bankrupt and could not pay the debt of sin. Simon was just as spiritually bankrupt as this woman was, only he did not realize it. Forgiveness is the gift of God's grace. The debt was paid in full by Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. God freely and graciously offered salvation. And this woman had received that. And she expresses her love here openly. Simon rejected that and remained unforgiven. He was not only blind to himself, but he was blind to the woman. And he was blind to his honored guest, the Lord Jesus. He's a critical host. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful, if you please, when he sees this transaction going on between Jesus and the woman. Then we see, beginning in verse 44, the forgiving Savior. The woman was guilty of sins of commission, but Simon was guilty of sins of omission. He had not been a gracious host to the Lord Jesus. Everything that Simon had neglected to do, the woman did and did better down in verse 44. It says, he turned to the woman and said to Simon. Now, here's what she did. Here's what he didn't do. Do you see this woman? He's talking to Simon. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. When you went to a banquet, you bathed, you dressed, you walked to the banquet. But you had to walk through the dusty, dirty streets. And so at the door, there would have been a servant with a basin and a pitcher of water to wash the feet of the guests, that they might be clean and refreshed for the banquet. That was what Simon should have done, or had done. But he didn't. Who washed the feet of Jesus? But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She had no water pitcher and she had no towel. But she washed his feet with her tears. I was thinking about the quantity of her tears. Did she cry that much to literally wash his feet? I heard a quote this week that was attributed to Queen Elizabeth. Perhaps you heard it as well. She is quoted as having said, "Grief is the price we pay for love." Amen. Grief is the price we pay for loving. Amen. If she really loved Jesus, who has forgiven her like the 500 denarii man, as he told that parable. That's what she represents. Simon represents the man who owed 50 denarii. Jesus said, "Who loves more?" And Simon rightly said, well, the one that was forgiven more. The woman knew forgiveness. She knew forgiveness. And when she had the opportunity to break open that flask and begin to pour it out on Jesus, the volume of her tears washed his feet. She had no towel, so she let down the tresses of her hair and began to wipe his feet dry. And then she began to kiss his feet. No water for the feet. She washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. Jesus said to Simon, you gave me no kiss. That was the normal greeting, a kiss on the cheek, even among men in the Near East. Not only did she not kiss my cheek, she's kissing my feet. Can you imagine the humility of that? You gave me no kiss, Simon. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since that time I came in. It was also customary when your guest came to put a little bit of fragrant oil on their head, like a perfume. Jesus said, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Simon didn't even put any good smelling stuff on Jesus' head as a guest. She lavished an alabaster box that was worth 300 denarii, a year and a half's wages, and poured it on his feet. Simon didn't do that. And Jesus' conclusion is in verse 47. I say to you, her sins, which are many, that's Jesus, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, Simon, the same loves little. See, Simon did not acknowledge that he had sin. How could he know the joy of forgiveness when you don't acknowledge your sin? Oh, I remember that day. I remember that morning. The forgiving Savior. Amen. How did the woman know that her sins were forgiven? Jesus told her. How do we know today that we're forgiven? God tells us in His Word. Amen. There's so many scriptures, I'm not going to take time to read them, but from Old Testament, Isaiah, Acts, Romans, Ephesians, Hebrews, and the list could go on. Once you understand the meaning of God's grace, you have no trouble receiving His free and full forgiveness and rejoicing in it. Rejoicing in it. The legalistic critics at this dinner were shocked when Jesus said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." And by saying that, Jesus was what? Claiming to be God. Because they had already figured this out in Luke chapter 5 and verse 21, that only God can forgive sin. And here He is, claiming to be God. But He is God. And He died for the sins. He's going to die, hadn't died yet, but He's going to die for the sins that this woman has committed. His words of forgiveness were not cheap words. They cost him dearly at the cross. He paid for her sins. She was looking forward. He said, it's done. It's done. How was this woman saved? She repented of her sins and put her faith in Jesus Christ. How did she know that she was truly forgiven? She had the assurance of His word. What was the proof of her salvation? Her love for Christ expressed in sacrificial devotion. She took the most expensive thing that she had and broke it and spilled it out on Him. For the first time in her life, she had peace. The 50th verse says, your faith has saved you. Go, literally, into peace. Go into peace. The peace of sin forgiven. Priceless. Priceless. When Jesus healed the centurion's servant, it was a great miracle. Even greater miracle when He raised the widow's son, the widow of Nain, when He raised her son. But the miracle of salvation has to be the greatest miracle of all, for it meets the greatest need. It brings the greatest results, and it lasts forever. And it costs the greatest price. Simon was blind to the woman. He was blind to himself. He saw her past. Jesus saw her future. I wonder how many sinners have found salvation through the testimony of this woman in Luke's gospel. To me, it's one of the great incidents in the life of Jesus. She encourages us to believe that Jesus can take any sinner and make him or her into a child of God. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell it again to close this message. God's forgiveness is not automatic. We can reject it if we will. We can reject it. In 1830, go way back in the early history of America, a man by the name of George Wilson was arrested for mail theft. And the penalty at that time was death by hanging. After a time, President Andrew Jackson gave Wilson a pardon. But Wilson refused to accept it. The authorities were puzzled. Should Wilson be freed, or should he be hanged? They consulted with Chief Justice John Marshall, who handed down this decision. A pardon is a slip of paper the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. End of quote. She had accepted, and the proof, the testimony was this unusual scene at this banquet of washing his feet, drying them with her hair, and pouring this lavish gift upon his feet, and lavishing kisses upon his feet. This was her expression of love. Simon sits there. Simon sits there, a lost man. Simon sits in the seat of the scornful, as it were, but a lost man. A Pharisee, respected, probably wealthy. He had the finer things of life, but he sits there and watches the whole scene and refuses to believe. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you that you put it in the Word of God, Father. It's so moving. It is so moving, so powerful. I pray that someone, Father, who has the opportunity for witness, may turn to this passage and share it as we have shared this morning. Your graciousness to reach out and forgive and bless and change a life, change the direction and give a whole new life to someone who desperately needs Christ. Lord, maybe someone will watch today who will hear this story, maybe for the first time. May their heart be touched by the Holy Spirit. And may the Holy Spirit testify to them, this is what you need. Receive it as a gift from God. In Jesus' name, amen.